Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Well, pretty much. The game being tomorrow makes for a different week.
Sure does. Sure does. It's a game. That's very much how it feels. I mean, we know it, but still, when you get up on, like, you know, today, even yesterday, like, that's a game Thursday.
I think I'm speaking for you when I say tomorrow night you have our permission to leave early. Anybody who chooses to do that, regardless,
okay.
Regardless of the score, yes.
Sure, I'm not going to judge anyone. I have thought.
It's okay with you.
I have thought about what I will do.
That's right.
Because I'm going to be there. You know, Owen's only been to a couple of games since he's been like going, you know, able to go by himself. We've never been together, and I find it very unlikely that we could be in a even if it's as bad as the Baltimore game looked. Especially now that, you know, a couple of weeks after that, you're reminded that it doesn't have to be over. I'd be surprised if he was willing to let us leave. Like, I could see me in a situation going like, oh, come on, they're up by 20. Let's just go. And him being like, dude, come on. No, we've never done this together. Let's slog through the traffic after the game together. Like, let's listen to the post-game show. All the stuff that you do when you go to a game. I just have a feeling that we're going to want to do that. So I'll bet it would take something pretty extraordinary for me to get out of there before that game is over tomorrow night.
He gets in here early on Friday.
That's right.
But
that's right.
In my 20s, I worked mornings, and it was not a problem. You
right.
know, you just do it. It'd be different. It'd be hard for me now, I think. But it,
oh, gosh.
Especially
yeah.
with my sort of addiction with the NFL and like just feeling like I can never miss anything, lineups and everything else, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
But he's young.
He is pretty careful about – I mean, he's in bed most nights by 9, really. Because he gets up at 4:30 to come in here and get everything ready for the shows. So – you know, that'll so, but that said, there have been a few circumstances where he's been out a little bit later than that, maybe even a lot. He's going to be out a lot later than that tomorrow night, even if we were to leave early. He's going to be out a lot later than 9 o'clock. The game doesn't start till 8:15 or 8:20. So.
8:15. At least it is 5 minutes earlier
right. Thank
on
you
a
for
Thursday.
That. Thanks for that, everybody.
So you got that. Don't yeah. think it's 8:20. You'll miss a lot.
Yeah. Have you thought at all about where we're situated, how enormous the stadium is going to look? I across the street, I mean, because we're going to be right out front.
You and me.
Yeah, tomorrow. And from there, I have not parked and like stood on the ground and looked at the stadium. I have driven down Abbott Road. I've driven on 20A. I've driven on the 290, whatever. I've seen it even from close, but not. Just I just had this feeling we're going to be looking up at it like it's the Empire State Building or something.
Yeah, from where we're sitting. I think so. We'll have our backs to the current stadium facing the new one.
I think that's right.
I think that's how it'll be, definitely. Well, interesting and cool that you're going to the game as a fan. Many of my, as it is, again, the last year of the stadium, and everybody might be a little bit nostalgic or a lot about all this. So many of my favorite memories of being there are Miami-related because for most of my years going to games, the Dolphins were the team. Mm-hmm. There wasn't even a Kansas City in those days. You know, it was like there were the Elway or Montana games. Like there were a couple of one or so of those a year. Maybe there'd be like a top NFC team like when the Cowboys came in 95 or 96 when Collins played.
Yeah.
You know, there were those two, but the Bills, it was really about the Dolphins were good enough to say the least, probably as a division opponent for that to be the team. Like the AFC, Miami was right up there among the teams that the Bills would have to take out, if not at the top of that list. So, and you had the Kelly Marino stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That was the game.
Yep, I totally agree. That rivalry really dominated that era. Because yeah, you just said it right. I mean, Miami was good enough that it was, and Marino was so great that you never felt entirely comfortable about what the outcome was going to be. They seemed like pretty equal sides.
Yeah, they were never bad.
Right.
You know, in the Kelly years, they were just, you know, average at best, or at worst, rather. So the Dolphins, you know, my first game was a Miami game in 79, the snow divisional round game in 90, the snow Ricky Williams 2002 game. And then if you're going in these recent years, these Allen years with Miami, it's the most fun. Well, I'm saying this. I think what the Bills have done to the Dolphins is more fun than anything else the Bills have done with respect to like a certain other team. They beat Kansas City in the regular season, but you know what to do with that. It's just like it's something.
Yep.
But it doesn't feel like that rewarding because they've had these playoff losses to the Chiefs. I think, and you know, the Jets are the Jets. The Patriots, when Belichick and Brady left, the playoff win over New England for sure, although that was Mac Jones, where you had that sort of revenge taste.
Right.
But now it's just, you know, a game, kind of division mm-hmm. game. Mm-hmm. You know the history. Miami, though, it's also kind of just that because the Dolphins might be down too. But the dominance over Miami is so rich. And, like, you just have many years. Not the 70s so much, but since.
Right.
My first game was in 79, but you have many, many great moments with them and important wins, and just there's so much that is Miami, I don't know, centric, I guess, in terms of the history there.
If I'm, you know, admittedly, this was a decision made, you know, mostly at least at inception, it was about convenience. I knew we were going to be there, like, well, why leave at 7:30 or whenever we get done and go home? I'm here, it's the last year in the stadium, let me see if I can shake something loose here and find a way to go to this game. So, you know, that could have been any game. You know, if they were playing for some reason the Saints on Thursday Night Football, which I know seems pretty absurd, but if it were happening, I probably would be going to this game anyway. If we were doing our show there, I would have chosen the Saints game to go to. But the fact that it was Miami really just sort of, That trips all the right wires for me. I'm the right age for that. I lived through the 70s, so the 90s were really rewarding. And now currently, yeah, I get a lot of pleasure out of the fact that they have owned them. You know, that can make you, it's making me in the days here, the hours leading up to the game, a little uneasy because, you know, like we talked with Al Michaels yesterday, it's the NFL and you never know what's going to happen.
Look how you just slipped that in.
And right. Smooth. So, you know, I don't want to be too comfortable or take anything too much for granted, but I'm really excited. I don't like the Bills all blue uniforms, but what I do like is that I think it has to almost certainly mean that Miami's going to be in white. And that'll just look right to me to see them in that uniform in that stadium trying to beat the Bills. It's just going to work for me aesthetically really nicely.
When did the Dolphins last wear aqua here? 1980-something?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Bills aren't always in all blue, like you said they are tomorrow, the unitards tomorrow. But, yeah, I mean, they've not worn white at home for the Dolphins. Maybe I'm missing one game, but it feels like in decades that's maybe happened once at the most. So, good. Bet online. Will a coach be fired between weeks 3 and 4? -150.
Wow.
Who else would it be?
Right. There's no one else. Is there anyone else that's in trouble? I really don't think so.
Daboll. Who else would it be? Could it be him? Andy Reid, if they lose to the Giants. I mean, right. You got to wonder about him.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know.
D'Amico.
Everything has an expiration date.
Brian Callahan.
You're just starting with the new quarterback there. That seems unlikely to me that they would make a move. Ryan's, I honestly did think he might be the first guy I thought of, other than I didn't think of Daboll. That fits too. But yeah, no, that is a Mike McDaniel bet, I think is what that is.
I wonder if Daniel Jones' success makes Daboll look bad. I mean, he had him. They went to the playoffs. They won.
Yeah.
But 0-2 with the Chiefs. Just like, who could it be? But McDaniel, who you don't hate.
No. I don't. This is very convoluted.
You wanted him to succeed.
I wanted him to succeed, but he's the Dolphins coach. So maybe not that much, right? But I like the idea of a coach coming in with that sort of mindset. Like, he just seemed like a very different dude for that job. I would say with that repeatedly, I think every time I would make that point, I would say, I'm not sure it's going to work. Because I'm not sure that style of guy is going to be able to command a locker room of football players. And, I don't know everything that's gone wrong there, but command is something that it seems like is sorely lacking from the coaching staff to the players for the last couple of years there. You know, once that, you know, the excitement of the 70 points and, you know, all the stuff, and then the injuries and the up and down with Tua, it just seems like the bloom has come off of that immensely. And so I'm not surprised that it's not working and that he's in line to maybe even get fired if this doesn't go well tomorrow night. But I was rooting for it to work because I just think, you know, in coaching, within sports culture, it's always good to evolve. And maybe Mike McDaniel is just 20 years too early. You know, we'll get through another generation of players who are coached differently than we were coached as kids, and even our kids were coached, because it's always evolving. And, you know, you can say that means we're getting softer, whatever. It's just different. And players are being conditioned to be approached and handled differently. And McDaniel might just be a little too out front of that. For right now, or it's football and it's never gonna be embraced. Like someone who's sort of, you know, no, that's cool. You want, yeah, let's talk about it. You know, like that's how he seems. And like, I don't know, I'm all for that, but it doesn't seem to be going very well.
Yesterday, we at this time were talking about Baker Mayfield and how the Bills emerge from just the repetitive year after year of mediocrity, all those drought years, and just not. It's harder when you're trying to build something and you don't have really any place to start, like from recent history, you have your distant past maybe if that works for you. But you're kind of like what McDermott took on was really kind of starting from zero, including that he did not join an organization that had any sort of recent guys in their 20s couldn't remember the Bills ever being good at all. Miami is that. I mean, Miami has not won a playoff game in 25 years. You hear that, everybody? Like, they have not won a playoff game in 25 years. They are a famous team, you know, and Miami is Miami, but it's just been so long since they've won anything. And now you've got Allen at 29 continuing to lore. By the way, if I need to say so, I'm not superstitious. I can't do this job and just qualify everything with, they might lose.
Right.
So just want to say that at least once. But what are you walking into with these jobs like Aaron Glenn with the Jets and, you know, what McDaniel's gone through? McDaniel got them right to the playoffs. And yeah. Then they got beat. They lost their quarterback. They lost here. They went to Kansas City a couple of years ago and froze and lost there. And that's kind of been it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that much harder for someone to take over. But we know from our own recent past that it's possible. McDermott made it work. Allen was, you know, incredible pretty early. And it is what it is right now. I just said the thing about, like, tomorrow night's game. I mean, they're a 12.5-point favorite. A loss here would be shocking. It's not the Baltimore game. You know, it would be...
Right.
How would they do it? How would it happen? Turnovers is always the mm-hmm. first answer. Injuries, right? Just sort of the randomness that the Bills seem largely immune to in these recent seasons. Miami has enough talent where maybe they hit big plays.
Right. The Bills have done, but I don't have the numbers memorized on Hill, but like his yards overall, or maybe his longest reception since he's been in Miami, it's in stark contrast to what he did to the Bills when he was on the Chiefs.
Ooh, I can get that.
They have done a great job of limiting that stuff when they play the Dolphins. So, you know, that would be, them losing the game would be shocking. Them losing the game by getting beat over the top a couple of times would also be shocking, because it just does not really happen to them anymore when they play them. So, but that doesn't mean it can't, you know, somebody turns the wrong way, somebody slips, and like Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle are just down, you know, or they just run past you and Tua can get it. He's got enough time to unload it that far and get it down the field. Yeah, like that's, if they get an easy touchdown or two, or, you know, and or a short field or two because of turnovers, if the Bills are just not sharp and, you know, they give Miami those opportunities, yeah, that's how the game even stays close or Miami wins it, is that. I don't think, like, if the Bills are, if they win the turnover battle again or even just don't lose it, right? Because that's the stat. It's not that they win it all these games in a row. It's 24 now, but they have not lost the turnover battle in a game in 24 straight. If that holds...
Since a game in Miami.
Right. If that holds, I don't think there's any way Miami can beat the Bills. But, that, you know, that can happen. You know? The Thursday thing might be the biggest... You know, scary. It's not even scary. Concern is too strong. But, like, if you've got a little, if you're the sort of person that's got a little voice in the back here going, it's not going to be that easy. It's not going to be that easy. It's because of Thursday for me. Because Thursday is just, you know, everyone can get up and just not have it on a day, you know? And these are finely tuned, rigorously trained, methodical, and, you know, they're used to a routine, and Thursday this early in the season just sort of throws that all askew. And it just, I just don't assume everyone's going to be at their best. And if enough guys are like that, then that can level the playing field a little bit, and, you know, we'll see. So
we did used to talk about mere night games being this.
Right, right.
They've already had one of those and have had, you know, so many games in prime time. Tyreek Hill against the Bills, 7 games as a member of the Dolphins, 7 games. 2 for 33, that's the one Dolphins win played on the surface of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
2 for 33, 9 for 69 and 1 here late in the season in the snow. Not bad. The first game is always lesser. 2023, 3 for 58 And then in the season finale in Miami, the Week 18 division showdown, 7-for-82 and a touchdown.
That's pretty good.
Last year, 3-for-24 in the Thursday night game in Miami, Bills blowout win. And then midseason here, 4-for-80. That game was close. Their last meeting was close. 30-27 was that score here last November. And the playoff game was decent with Skylar Thompson, 7-for-69. But I didn't hear 100 yards.
Right. And so I think what it is, it's like his longest play is just not – he just has not popped a big one against them. So, because those stats are better than I was expecting for what I had in my head for what they've done with him.
Okay.
So I think it's just limiting the over-the-top stuff on them. But either way, that's even that is good. Like, he's been – this is a guy that 2 years ago was chasing 2,000 yards in receiving. I mean, the Bills have done – and you know what he did to them when he was on Kansas City. I don't look those games up. I don't need – nobody needs to hear it. But there were some real bangers in there for him against the Bills when he was on Kansas City. So – That to me would be very surprising. As I'd say, it can't happen. They're certainly capable, but I think the Bills have done the right thing in limiting that and just taking that away. And I think we all know, like by now, the book is in on take that away, muddy up the middle of the field, and like try to take that first read away, and that works in concert with taking the middle of the field away. Just muddy it up, just get him off his first what he wants to do right away, and you almost already have won. It just has not gone well when he has to readjust and go somewhere else. That's where turnovers come from with him. It seems Tua.
Never know with these things, I guess, but do you ever think about what a coach's next job might be? Like McDaniel, is he a head coach again next?
I don't think so.
Runs out of time in Miami?
I don't think so.
Goes back to an assistant?
I think he's got to go back to the coordinator school. I don't know. Maybe even college. Maybe a head coaching job in college.
Okay.
But I don't at the NFL level. I'm not saying he'll never get another shot at it, because he could reestablish himself in college or as a coordinator again and become like a hot idea. And then it's, well, I learned a lot from what happened in Miami, and like, just I know now to come in and set a different tone and all that kind of stuff. So I wouldn't assume he can. I mean, sports loves to recycle guys, even guys that flame out. So. And everyone does eventually, right? I mean, mostly. Very few guys just waltz off into the sunset not being chased by the posse. So I wouldn't rule out him getting another shot, but I don't think it'll be the next thing he does.
Is college better than coordinator? Depends on the school?
Depends on the school. And I think to get back to being a head coach – like if he were to go somewhere and have some success, be like a college playoff type team, then that could, I think, help him more than having success as a coordinator. Because there's not, although I don't know, there are questions about him as a coordinator now too, right? Like a part of last year was these different teams that lost quarterbacks that still found ways to get production out of the position. And Tua goes out and they're like combing, they're combing the streets looking for someone to come in, and he can't seem to get anyone else off. I mean, Skylar Thompson had his moment in the playoff game, sure, but
that wasn't even that good. Like at that point, you're really looking for just anybody who might be available. It's almost like too late. There was Teddy Bridgewater in there as well. I like Mike McDaniel, and a lot of the inner workings of these teams we're just never privy to. But most people, I think, believe that Tua is sort of capped. Just anything off script, first read quarterback, like just kind of easy, unless you just can't, whatever it is, at the line of scrimmage or just whatever it is that you need to do to keep Hill and Waddle from breaking you. If you can prevent that, what does Tua do to beat you? Like that's what he's not been able to sort of prove. And you wonder he's not the worst quarterback, but you wonder with these tandems, coach and QB tandems, if a coach is thinking, man, if I had somebody else who could do this mm-hmm. thing different, or, I mean, look at Indianapolis. We talked about the whole football machine talked about Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson all summer. Like, wow, it's so bad for Richardson that they're going to go to Daniel Jones. Like, could that even be possible? Could that actually work? I mean, how? And now they get to the season and they pick Jones, which still was somewhat controversial mm-hmm. to do. Richardson, such a high draft pick and still so young. He hasn't played. What a waste of an asset. And now you go, oh, maybe that guy just had no clue.
Right.
Right? I mean, Jones has a body of work, and it's not great. But so far, small sample, but so mm-hmm. far, they're perfect. So, oh, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, McDaniel will end up someday. This isn't over yet. Might be Friday. He'll end up someday coaching someone else. And, oh, you know, one way or another. Or maybe that's how it goes for Tua with a different coach, although he had coaches before Mike McDaniel.
That's right.
You just never know how that's going to land. 803-0550 for your calls to talk about the game tomorrow night. A couple of big NFL topics we've been in and out of since the week began. The tush-push thing with Philadelphia, Tom Brady and the coaches' meetings, some interesting topics there. We'll talk to Marcel-Louis Jacques about the Dolphins, Sal Capaccio later, and Paul Hamilton as well with Sabres camp opening. Lines are open for you. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, thanks for listening. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
He's top tier. You know, if it's not with his arm, it's with his legs. You know, that dude can do literally anything he wants. So definitely different skill set for me. I can't do half of what he does when it comes to running the ball and then with how he can just chuck a ball down the field, you know, with how far and the arm strength that he has. You know, he's supreme when it comes to that. So it's going to be fun. Get to see him, get to play him again, and we'll see.
Interesting to hear that from Tua Tagovailoa. Yeah, I can't do half that. Running or arm strength. Wow. I appreciate his
humility.
His honesty and humility.
Yeah.
But this is where you say, what are we doing here, right?
Right.
This is where you say that.
Right. That's right.
Like, what's the point then?
Yeah. Yeah. It does sound, you know, I don't know, beleaguered might be a little strong, and so would defeated, but it just sounds resigned to accepting they've got the better guy. Kind of by a lot.
Do you like that, or do you want? I mean, I'm always a sucker for just be honest with me. You know, just I like this about a person, knowing what they don't know or whatever it is. But man, I feel like you'd also like to hear your quarterback be like, I got it. You know, here's what I can do. Whatever, however you want to put it, not point out. Yeah, you're right. How much better he is than me. You're right. I mean, just I think traditionally fans don't want to hear that.
Yeah, there's a deference there that I think you'd probably would rather avoid. But it you know, there's nothing there that he says that's, I think, my opinion, but even factually wrong.
No, but that's the problem.
Right.
That's right. What our job is, not his.
Right.
His job is to say, I'm just as good or something, and then we come in and say, no, he's not.
Right. What are you, delusional?
Crazy?
Right, yeah.
But don't you like somebody, don't you like the Black Knight and Monty Python, you know, or I guess it's, right, it's the Black Knight. Just, right. They just keep cutting his limbs off, and he's like, I'm fine.
Right.
Just, isn't that what you want your quarterback to sound like? I don't want to, you know, stereotype. I just feel like, I don't know. It just sounds all, just like McDaniel has sounded this year, just kind of sad.
Yeah.
I do like that Tua said it's going to be fun. Looking forward to get, you know, playing him again. I'm glad you can find that fun. It's your job, and it pays great, and
right.
A lot of people care about it, so you should be able to enjoy it. Hopefully he really does. I don't know. But
yeah.
It's kind of almost...
Yeah, you could... Yeah.
We're talking about McDaniel, Bulldog, and his future. I mean, Tua's future is maybe even a more important or interesting conversation.
You could probably, without trying too hard, build yourself a place to reside in about Tua that simply says, you know, he got the contract, and he knows what he is, and, like, he's good. That all just sounds like resigned to being at best second best in the division for eternity, is how that sounds. The eternity of your career anyway, or at least while it's happening in Miami. And yeah, again, even though there's nothing that I would argue with within it, I think you'd rather your quarterback find a different way to talk about how good Josh Allen is without sort of depreciating his own skill set at the same time.
Yeah, really. What he wanted to say was just please get me to the AFC South. isn't Miami in the South? Can't we be? What is this East business? Why am I coming up to New England and New York and Buffalo every year? Who made this?
Right,
deal?
Why am I not playing Tennessee?
Why don't I get to play Tennessee tomorrow night?
Right.
Why do I never get to play them? That's not right. Have you ever heard of a thing called the NFC? Is there any way? Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a fair fight right now, and I'm not complaining. Bills had many years where it was the same, and they were on the wrong side of the Hobie cat when their friend, I don't know why I would use this example, is up in the air on the trapeze taunting me as I'm going
banging along
through
the
Niagara River. Right now it's the Jets, Dolphins, and Patriots who are, you know, me in that example. 803-0550 is the number. Talking about tomorrow night's game. Yesterday we had Ross Tucker, Al Michaels, and then Sal. And we talked to Ross about the Brady controversy, if that's not too strong. I think it's a controversy. And, you know, Ross is a good person to ask because he's in those meetings. And what did he say about the value of the meetings? He said for radio they don't have them. But from here, if you missed it, he'll be here for the game tomorrow night for radio and then flies to Nashville and has Colts Titans on Sunday. And they have those meetings. And Friday is with the Titans people, then Saturday with the Colts. And I think of Troy Aikman for this, but I think it's been announcers forever. And I've not been in any of these NFL meetings, having never done a game. But I think there should be good information that the announcers get, assuming they have a good enough reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the default position is a good reputation because you know that there is an inherent trust. You know, as the coach who's doing the talking in the meeting, right, the guy's not going to go on the broadcast at 12:59 Sunday afternoon and tell the audience everything that the coach said, you know, who they want to key on, where they think. I think that's a lot of it is, and I'll tell you why I mentioned Aikman. I think a lot of it is two or three inside nuggets that the coach would not want to ever say at a press conference, but is talking about with his team and his staff. All right, and they come to it as a staff. This is where we can win. This guy, we can beat, whether it's a corner or a lineman, whoever it is, we can win this matchup. And never would you hear that at the press conference. But I think in those meetings, that's something that gets said. And that's where this gets dicey. Because Brady, knowing that in sort of a regular situation, he's not the owner of the Raiders. Brady's knowing that does have value. And, you know, the idea is he shares it with us. Or he sees that matchup exploited in the game and, you know, the production team and everybody's sort of ready for it. Everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happens and he can say, "This they wanted this and they got it right here." He knows that and we don't.
Right.
And that's not feasible if he owns the Raiders. The Bears play the Raiders next week. He has the Bears Sunday. You can't trust him to keep that information from the Raiders, especially if we know that they're talking all the time, right?
Of course, yeah. Even something as, I don't know, maybe it doesn't have to be like someone specific on the opponent, but like I saw comments today that Ben Johnson is saying, like, I'm just coach speak. Like,
yeah.
when he's in that meeting with Brady this week, which, right, has to be by Zoom now. Brady is not allowed to attend in person, whatever.
Yeah, what's the difference?
But you could, I think, in theory, the sort of thing you're describing doesn't even have to be like a specific guy on the other team. It's like, I've got, whether it's a defender or an offensive player, like, this guy, what we want to do with him is get him in space against this kind of a defender. Right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
His style of play. We like his length. We like his physicality. We like his whatever it is. There's a matchup that we feel favors us on either side of the ball. And yeah, it's pretty general, almost generic, but still you're telling the broadcast team how you want to utilize, get your guys off the best you can. I don't want to be telling that to somebody who's going to go tell that to the coaches of the team I'm playing in 2 weeks, ever. You know, he might be able to figure it out just by watching tape. Like, where do they try to use DJ Moore, you know, or whatever it is. But I, it's not appropriate for someone involved at the ownership level who's talking to coaching staffs of the team that he's involved with, ownership-wise, should not be getting that information. He shouldn't have access to it. He should have to work harder to find it. If he's got a network of people from his playing days around the league, that, you know, certainly a lot of these guys would have that too, in addition to these meetings they have. And he comes across that information in some other way, you know, well, then more power to you. But to have that access and the potential for that is just inherently wrong. I don't think, whether he's in person or Zoom,
doesn't matter.
He should not be privileged to get that information at all. Because if there's a 1% chance he's going to use that for the Raiders' benefit, it's wrong.
Like if Ross had a friend, and he would have friends all over the league on coaching staffs, you know,
mm-hmm.
He has to be trusted to never do that. Like,
yeah.
And that probably gets tricky sometimes because the coach friend might think, well, aren't we boys? I mean, you really can't tell me anything like this. And, you know, that puts him in an awkward position. Reporters are in the same kind of thing sometimes. You know, you build up the relationship with people where that they can trust you to keep whatever it is to yourself or just use it in the proper way. And the broadcast, if it's a privilege given to the broadcast, in the name of making this all a better watch and a better league and more fun and everything like that, we're going to blitz more on Sunday. That's what we're going to do. And the five or six people in the room have to just know that, you know, I think it's just sort of a given. They would not share that
go
with anybody
else.
Go
to social media with that information, right?
I feel like, you know, John Madden, I think I haven't really watched him in a while, and I haven't done any of that since hearing about this Brady thing, because it's not something I ever really thought would happen. But he always seemed to have that just in spades. Like, they wanted to do this, they did it, this is how they did it. I mean, he was known for being funny and everything else, but like, he was so great at that, and he would have that advantage. He's John Madden. Like, he's a Hall of Fame coach. They're going to tell him stuff and trust him to, and nobody's going to ask him to, you know, so what did they say?
Right.
And with Aikman, I feel like I can always hear his voice, and it sort of drones on me, but I can always hear his voice in games like, oh, they like this third string running back. And he's not. Is Troy Aikman really, like, doing even what I do during the week with depth charts and trying to figure out thirds? Like, is he really doing that? He might have, you know, assistants who help him with that.
No, but
somebody in the organization.
Yeah, Vic Fangio told him that.
Right. They look up to Aikman and respect him well enough, and they tell him that, and then he just sort of, like, goes with it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, I listen going, if they like him so much, why does he get one touch a week? But, you know, he's not there to – it's not investigative journalism.
Right, he's not there to uncover why he's not getting more touches if they like him so much. He's just regurgitating what they told him.
That's right, that's right.
And that's really largely the function of those meetings. I hope I remember. Sal is at 5 today. Because, like Ross said, they don't have those meetings for radio. And I think that means national radio. Because Sal mentions often enough, like, they have a meeting with the local radio crew. We haven't brought this up to Sal yet, but I want to make sure we do so today. Because he's been in those meetings.
Let's go to Dave here. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. I just had a thought on this. I mean, it may not seem obvious, but an opportunity for Brady in a place like this, I mean, there's no hard and fast rule that you have to give him good information. I mean, don't you just adjust if Brady's in the room and give him some crap that's not even the case and let him chase a wild goose? I mean, that's another side of it, right?
Not realistically. I mean, it's part of a group, and you wouldn't want to do that to the group. Anytime, like in any situation like this in life, you run the risk. You just, I'm not going to talk to you next time because you just lied to me, right? So, and if, you know, in this example, the Bears tell Brady something and they do the opposite, well, you know, then they can see that. The Raiders play the Bears next week and like that, well, that didn't pan out. They just lied to me. So, I don't know. I don't want to assume the worst in all facets of this, but nobody really wants it to get to that point. You know, the idea is the coaches are extending a privilege to make the game a better game to watch because the analyst is the go-between and can better, in theory, explain what's happening. And there's no reason for anybody to need to lie to each other, right, in this? It's just sort of basic. It shouldn't get so twisted. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. We'll be right back. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.